Content, content, content. We all know we need to create it, but to do it properly, you need a content marketing calendar. But the devil is in the detail. In this episode, I'll share with you how to create a best practice content marketing calendar through a process you've never heard of before. Also, I riff on Twitter direct messages and drop more tools like they're going out of fashion. Get ready for another episode of Inbound Buzz.
Welcome to the Inbound Buzz Podcast, your weekly jolt of all things digital and inbound marketing, brought to you by redpandas.com.au. Now for your host and co-founder of Red Pandas, Moby Sadiq.
Welcome to Inbound Buzz. I am your host, Moby Sadiq, and I hope you're very, very well. And a big thank you to all our listeners, especially from Germany this week. My SoundCloud stats tell me that that is our fastest rising and our second most popular country of audience. Who would have thought? And a special thank you to Johannes Mackey from Osnabrück, Germany. I've probably butchered at least half of that, so please forgive me, Johannes. Johannes sent me a very lovely message via LinkedIn, and he also wanted me to share this. Johannes says, "I would love it if you can get your listeners to stop sending automatic direct messages on Twitter, since nobody reads them anyway, and it's always just spam, smiley face." Now, I know what it sounds like. He's not suggesting that Inbound Buzz listeners are any more inclined to send DMs or direct messages on Twitter. It's just one marketer venting to another, right? But I love it because I feel the exact same way. When I saw this, I was like, man, I can't stand direct Twitter messages myself either. Now, if you don't know what they are or how they work, essentially, if I follow you and you follow me on Twitter, now you have the ability to DM or direct message me and I can DM you. The problem is that today in 2016, direct messages on Twitter have just become a breeding ground for spam. Honestly, they've been abused to the wahoo to the point it probably does more of a disservice to you if you're engaging in an automated message than not so. Now, obviously, I have to clarify here, I'm talking about the automated messages here, right? So when someone likes you or you like them, it automates and says, oh, hey, thanks for following me. Here's some crap that you can buy from me, so on and so forth. Now, unfortunately, it has gotten so bad that even legitimate DMs, legitimate Twitter direct messages, get lost in all the garbage. And that's why fewer people actually respond to legitimate, authentic Twitter DMs anymore. And honestly, in my opinion, what Twitter has to do is pretty simple. Firstly, ban automated DMs. And a lot of people say, you know, you might have heard a lot of people saying Twitter is out of touch these days. And look, there's still life in that old dog yet. There's still a very powerful medium when wielded correctly. But this is one of those things that does take the sheen off Twitter a little bit. Now, let's talk tactics. If you are running automated DMs, stop it. Seriously, if you can prove to me why you should be running them and if you have a case study in 2016 where it's worked, send me some abuse email and we'll have a conversation there. But if you must use DMs on Twitter, if you have to use it, then my advice would be on the first message you message someone, don't pitch. Don't offer a free ebook. Think about the context of that DM. It's on Twitter, so by default, it's not going to be taken with any authenticity. Make it nothing about you and all about the person you are messaging. So for instance, it could be about a comment about a post that they recently tweeted that you like. Or it could be a free tip about something wrong with their website or something that you've noticed out there in the wild about their brand. A genuine free tip with no strings attached. Unfortunately though, and I have to say, until Twitter cleans up DMs, even the legitimate ones will get lost. So my advice is, if you know someone's name and you know the company they work for, use a tool like HelloNorbit. And what HelloNorbit will do is it will help you find that person's email address. All you have to know is their first name, last name, and the domain of the company that they work for. You'll have a lot better chances of connecting with that person via that tool than something like Twitter DMs. Okay, so thanks, Johannes, for that. And if there's something that you want to share or ask, whatever, email me, moby@redpandas.com.au, or tweet me, @MobySadiq. But if we do follow each other, then don't automate DM me. Cool. So the next thing I want to share with you all is tomorrow we're running our next free digital marketing meetup event. This one's in Sydney and it will be held on the 19th of July at 7 p.m. Now this one will be a doozy. I can't remember the last time I was so excited about a meetup group. This one is on the 10 ultimate lead generation hacks you need to grow your business. It's all actionable, it's all pragmatic, all practical, and one of the things about this event is we'll actually be attempting for the first time to run it on Facebook Live. Now, if you're in Sydney, fantastic, come on down, we'll meet you there. But if you're not, then check us out on Facebook Live. So this will be really interesting. It's the first time we've tried this for an event, and the great thing about this is if you're not listening to this the day it goes live, which is very likely, you can head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/redpandasco. And if it went well, then you'll see that event there. If it didn't, then you'll hear me apologize the following episode, but fingers crossed. And I'll share all the details in the show notes, whether you're wanting to come to the event or whether you want to check it out on Facebook Live. Now let's get to the $1 million question and the featured buzz of today's episode. And that is how to create a content marketing calendar. So let's talk about one of the ways we do this at Red Pandas for clients, how we create a content marketing calendar. And it essentially follows, it's about 6 or 7 steps, and I'll take you through all those steps on exactly how we get there. The first step is define your targeted personas. So personas are fictionalized, generalized representations of your ideal customers. At their very core, they define who your customers are, what are their pain points, what are their value drivers, so what do they value when it comes to a product or a service, and how you can help. Now, I'll make no apologies about sounding like a broken record on this one, because they are so critical. And when people tell me about how poor their content marketing efforts are or how they haven't worked well in the past, the first question I ask is, have you defined your personas? And the answer has never been yes. If you want a detailed breakdown, check out episode 11, where we actually go over personas in detail, or download the Red Pandas editable PowerPoint persona template, which I'll share in the show notes. I will note here though, the strongest personas are based on market research as well as insights from the people who deal with your personas on a daily basis, the people at the coalface. So if you are going to do this properly, I do suggest you invest in some form of market research. That will not always be possible either because of time or resources. So at bare minimum, done is better than perfect. At least engage and workshop this with people who are at the coalface, people who are experienced, whether it's the sales guys, people in the desk, those sort of people. For a content calendar, it's important that you list all your personas. Now there isn't a one size fits all, but on average, I find 3 to 6 tends to be the right number of personas. Anything more than sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, and your content is going to be stretched too thin. Anything less than a couple, although it's very possible, and it may be too broad. That's step one, to identify and define your personas. Step two is identify the targeted themes or keywords that are in demand for your products or services. So the idea here is you don't want to be wasting your time writing all this content, developing this content marketing calendar for content that nobody's really looking for. Now, before I go on, do not confuse this with another point. Don't write for search engines first. That's not what we're saying here. Write for the user first. Write for the persona first. Even when we talk about keyword research, really, the whole point is to identify what people are looking for or what they're interested in. Now, how you do keyword research will vary from a very simple exercise to a fairly complex one. But at its core, there are a couple of tools and recommendations that I suggest that you use. Now, the first one, the staple one that everybody uses, is Google AdWords keyword research tool. So this tool will give you the volume for a keyword. It will also give you the cost per click for a keyword. But even better, you can actually localize it to either the country or even city. And it'll also give you associated keywords. So you might punch in 10, but it'll give you hundreds, if not thousands, of other keywords that might actually be better, or you might want to look at targeting as well. Now the CPC, one thing I will note, the CPC is interesting Because if you have two keywords, all things equal, they have the same amount of volume, they're very, very similar keywords, the difficulty is very similar, and I'll talk about difficulty in a second, but one has a very high CPC, chances are, and you'll have to test this, but chances are that will probably be the better keyword to target, because that means there are people searching for that keyword, there is demand for that keyword, and advertisers are bidding on that. Not that you want to be, you want to be writing content for it and ranking organically for it in this context anyway. So that's a little tip there. The second tool that I've spoken about in the past as well is keyword.io. And this essentially gives you longer tail queries or longer tail keywords, phrases. For example, where I might have put in couch and Google AdWords would give me couch and associated keywords for couch. Keyword.io might give me something like how long does it take to set up a couch, or what is the price of a couch, and that sort of stuff is actually often triggers the mind a little bit more when it comes to content. Now another tool I'll share is Moz. Now Moz, it's slightly more advanced, but the key thing here, it will give you information on keyword difficulty. And this is important because it will help you avoid chasing keywords that might take you a year to rank for, that are so difficult that it's better for you to target some of the easier keywords first, build your SEO, your reach for those keywords that will help enable you to go after the bigger ones first. Sometimes you have to take that strategy. And what this will do is it will give you things like, okay, these are the searches that are ranking for this keyword. And it'll even give you suggestions. These are some suggestions you could partake in. So it's a bit of a pro tool. It's not that expensive. It's just over $100 or so. So either check it out, share it with your team, or get your agency to look into it. And I'll also share a link in the show notes about the tool as well. Step three. So step one, your targeted personas. Step two is identify the themes or keywords. Step three is research buzz. So this is like keyword research, but for content. You know, what type of content is already trending or ranking for the themes that you're looking at? And there's two tools I want to recommend here, right? The first one is UpContent and BuzzSumo. Both have free versions, but I would recommend purchasing these if you want to be doing this more consistently. But check out the free version, see which one you like, which one's working for you better. And at their core, they'll help you find content that is trending for a particular theme that you punch in. So, for example, I've done this for a client in the past where I punched in luggage, and it's given me a lot of interesting stuff, right? It's given me, I remember one thing was how somebody packed 11 snakes, one raccoon, four frogs, three lizards, whatever, into a suitcase. Now, why would I care about this stuff? Well, one, I'm selling luggage, but two, this is stuff that my audience might be interested in. This is stuff that travelers would find interesting, so I could either share that or take some inspiration from it. But the other thing too that came up when we did this for this client was how to pack luggage efficiently, or what's the best way to pack luggage. I remember that coming up really, really key. Now we may not write something similar, but it gives us an idea of what people are searching for. Maybe we can develop a video out of it. Maybe we can look at what they've done and do that one better. That's very helpful from that particular perspective. Now, you don't have to do the researching of, you know, research buzz after keyword research, but I find that after you understand your personas, you know who they are, and then you've done your SEO themes and keywords, it only feels logical to do this step next, because now you have a bit more fuel to punch into these tools. The other tip I will recommend, you'll find that once you start going through this process, whether it's thinking about your personas, whether it's looking at the keywords or themes or researching buzz, ideas will just start coming to you. You'll just get these left field ideas that will start coming to you even before you put pen to paper, key to pixel in terms of content. So the other tip I would recommend is actually having an Excel spreadsheet or a Google Doc, whatever it is, where you just start dot pointing some ideas. So once you actually get to the ideation phase, you've already got some stuff that's already there. Step four is research your competitors. So this is an obvious one. Obviously, you can take the qualitative route where you can check out their websites and their blogs and their Facebooks, and everyone knows who your competitors are. But if you want to go that next step, another tool that I've spoken about a number of times is SEMrush. So SEMrush helps you identify who, one of the things that they do is help you identify who is your organic competition and also who's your paid competition as well. But it will tell you who's ranking for the same sort of stuff, who's ranking better than you, who's ranking worse for you. But then from there, you can actually check those websites out and see and look at their content strategy and see if that gives you any idea of why they're ranking so good. Check out their social media platforms, check out their blogs, and start making a list of what you like and don't like in that rolling Google Doc file. Also look to abroad. So in Australia, for instance, you know, we say that Australia tends to be sort of 18 months behind the US, but I think that's a little bit unfair. I think that depends on the industry. But the point is, whether it's the US or the UK or Malaysia, wherever it is, look at what other people are doing in your industry over there. See what they're doing. See if there's something, some sort of inspiration you can take from there. Another slightly more pro tool I'll suggest here is called Ahrefs, spelled A-H-R-E-F-S. And I spell it out because there's a chance I'm saying it wrong, but this tool is a pretty neat and nifty tool. You don't necessarily buy this tool for content, but what it will do is it will show your competitors' best content. So once you actually, you know, knuckle down to 3 or 4 competitors, you punch them into this tool, it will show you the best content for these particular brands that's actually trending and ranking and how many times it was shared and whatnot. Check that out. Now, one thing you'll note, I will drop a few tools here and there. Keep in mind, every time we do a strategy or a calendar, we don't check every single one of these out, but it's important to be aware of what kind of tools you have in your arsenal to help you get out of a jam when you're in that content calendar creation phase. Cool. So the next step is step 5. Consider the 6 content fillers. So what are the 6 content fillers? So this is a model that we've essentially kind of developed based on other models out there, and these are the 6 types of content fillers that you would put in your content calendar. And the idea, it's very simple, and one of my favorite steps in, probably no, the favorite step in the content ideation process. The idea is it's a mind map. So in the middle bubble, you would put the word content fillers, and then you'd have 6 bubbles around it. Now, we're all visual creatures, all of us, and the idea here is it's a visualization tool you can help in the ideation process for your content calendar. I'll go over what those 6 bubbles are and then a little bit more in more detail. Essentially, the first bubble is hub and spoke. The second bubble is articles. The third one is social proof content. The fourth one is event content. The fifth one is graphic content. And the sixth one is video. So you put this on a piece of paper and then you start kind of whirring away. You tick off all of these as a bit of a checklist and fill this out. Now, let's go over some of these in more detail. The first content filler is hub and spoke. The idea of a hub and spoke is you develop one central piece of content, whether it's an ebook that takes you 2 months, or in my case, that lead generation event that we're holding, call that a hub. Off the back of that, you repurpose that one hub into a number of spokes. And this is the way the smart marketers do it. We might have one ebook that we've created, right? And it might be 10 accounting tips you need to maximize your tax return this year, for instance, just off the top of my head. But in our case, for instance, the event we're doing tomorrow, the 10 ultimate lead gen hacks, that is the hub. And you can bet your butt we'll create an ebook out of that too. Very simple, right? There's going to be an ebook, we'll gate behind a form, that will be the 10 ultimate hacks you need to grow your business. Off the back of that, I can create 10 articles for each one of those hacks. Off the back of that, each article should be posted on social media at least 3 times, right? So that's 30 posts right there. And then they say, and I've said this in the past, and HubSpot do this, every one piece of content you should post 3 times. Not 3 times in one day, but you might spread it out. All of a sudden, I've got 90 social media posts there, and that's across 3 channels, right? Where I would spread out across 3 to 4 or 5 months. Off the back of that, Facebook Live is obviously going to be another spoke of ours. I can send 5 EDMs off this one central offer. Each of the tactics that we'll be doing will be creating videos as well, 1 or 2 minute videos for each tactic that we've done. Isn't that beautiful, right? All of a sudden, I've got these 10 micro videos, I've got email content, I've got social media content. It's fantastic. And one of the key ways, one of the best ways people do this is they use it for ebook. So the idea is to spend as much time distributing your ebook or white paper or event, whatever it is, as you did creating it. That's one of the biggest mistakes marketers make. We tick it off and then we move on to the next thing, right? So that was the first content filler, hub and spoke. The second one, it was articles. Now this sounds obvious, but just to touch on this, you need to have a mix of short and long form content. So short content we dub as 500 words or less. Now this is stuff you can punch out maybe once or twice a week. But long form content, this is the content that actually ranks well. Now they've done research on this, and if it's done right, a long form content has the power of ranking better, being shared a lot more, getting out there a lot more than shorter content. And here, the idea is you write one-off pieces of content based on a theme or a key question that people ask better than anyone else in your industry. This might take you a month to write over time, but it's a long mama piece of content that you write as your long form piece of content. So articles can be broken down into short and long form. The third one is social proof content. Now this is case studies or customer stories. The fourth one rather is event content. So whether any events you're doing yourself or any events in the industry that you can comment on, you know, be aware of all these. Have all these events in front of you for your ideation process. The fifth one is graphic content. So this includes things like memes, visuals, you know, aspirational quotes that you might use something like Canva to create, and also infographics. And the sixth one is video. So we're not just talking about explainer videos here. They can be guides, how-tos. Obviously, I gave you the example of our spoke videos. So that's your six content fillers on a page. By the time you've done your personas and you've looked at the keyword research and you've started to look at your competitors or other industries, you should be in a good position to, on this piece of paper, start filling these out. Step number six, rules. This is key. This is key. This is what will make or break your content calendar. You need to write down how many of these can you get away with. I mean, it'd be fantastic to go live with 10 offers, but you might only be able to do one every 2 to 3 months, and that's fine. It's probably more than you're doing now. And you might only be able to do one long form content a month or once every 2 months and 4 short articles a month. That's fine. You get the picture, right? So now that you've kind of done the best, you know, dream scenario of all the content that you want, you can start doing a couple of things. You can start figuring out what you do yourself, what you get your team to do, what you need to pay somebody to do, and you can build a case for an internal or external content person as well. The balance is, though, finding your strengths, what type of content filler your persona will resonate with, and what the competition isn't doing, right? That's the sweet spot. Your strengths, what your persona will like, and what your competition isn't doing. So for instance, you know, if I had a client in aged care, I wouldn't suggest podcasting to them. Not because I don't think they're doing it, but chances are a lot less people in an aged care facility are listening to podcasts, right? And the seventh and final step is create your content calendar. Now, this is the biggest problem that I see out there. A lot of people just get a content calendar template and start going for gold. But I believe you need to do all those six steps first. Now, there's so many ways you can do this. And ultimately, the columns you put in your calendar need to meet your objectives and what you do. But just as a bit of a guide, some of the things that we often see a lot is we'll put in dates. So dates will include industry dates. You know, it might be public holidays, might be an event or something. The date of creation, but also the date of release as well. Other columns you should include will be resource. So who's doing this stuff? If you follow the content filler model, then what type of content is it? Is it a blog? Is it short form, long form? Is it a video? Working titles. So what are you going to call this thing? If you do go down the SEO path and the theme path, which you should, then what theme are you focusing on? And then there are a couple of others that some of them are important, some of them aren't, but persona if you can. Another one is offer/call-to-actions that you'll promote. And if you don't define it here, you'll forget about it later. So you might say, okay, you know, just for this content, we'll have a simple one. Sign up to our newsletter. For another piece, we might say, you know what, we've actually developed an ebook that the person reading this will really like. So that's going to be the call to action there. Another one might be bottom of funnel type stuff. Sign up now, check out our prices, that sort of thing. Then some other key ones could also be paid amplification? Are you going to put a little bit of budget aside to promote this? Social media, of course, notes, and also live URL. So you kind of get the idea, but hopefully that gives you a bit of an idea for what columns you should put in your calendar. Now, the final thing I will mention is you need a system. Now, if spreadsheets work for you, then who am I to tell you that they don't, right? But I find that spreadsheets often get lost in lost world of folderdom and they never get found. So personally, I would recommend something like using Google Docs, something shareable, or a tool that I use a fair bit is Smartsheet. So essentially, it's like Excel, but for marketers. So hopefully you got a bit of value out of that. Essentially, the key takeaway is you do need to plan for this sort of stuff. You do need to follow a bit of a structure before you get to that content calendar that in 3 months, 6 months time is just going to be gold. So that does take me to time. Thank you once again for listening to another episode of Inbound Buzz. That was a lot to take in. You're not going to remember all of it. So do check out the show notes on redpandas.com.au/EP20. And you'll have a list of all the tools and a summary of everything we've discussed. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead. And I hope to see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound, and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.